Blog Talk Radio.
Faith Class Radio, a syndication of Urban Glory Campaigns. Growing faith, growing God. Visit us online at www.urbangloricampaigns.words.com.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. Me rejoice and glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and the liberation of thought. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Do what only you can do. Anoint the ears of the people to hear what the Spirit said to the church. And Father, in everything that shall be accomplished and shall be revealed, you be glorified. May even the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, what I've done in the secret place, be acceptable in your sight. Father, you are the giver of our strength, and you are our redeemer. We praise you, and we magnify your holy name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Developing healthy relationships. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through 19. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as to my children. Be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord have Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my son and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Relationships are created every second of the day. And as Christians, according to the scriptures, we should take a clear, objective, biblical approaches to establishing healthy relationships. As I have encountered many Christians in my vocation, the Spirit impressed upon me to examine specific insights that outline clear distinctives in light of a biblical worldview and approach to relationships. I came across hundreds of articles, literally hundreds, that are coined under Christian perspective and advice that give concepts that are clearly secular in origin, but it is commonly associated as authoritative constructs to relations, and it's a major factor to there being destructive value patterns infecting the Christian culture. Prescribed by secular cultures are many loaded and erroneous formulas for relationship practices. And yet the following commentary by much prayer and pointed texts and scriptures will examine by divine help an enlightened alternative. The Holy Spirit also challenged me to look deeper into what we claim as Christian value-centered relationships. For there are many saints venturing into deceptive religious tactics that have altered the fundamentals of Christian culture that must be reformed back to the standards that God has prescribed in his sacred text. So let's begin with a healthy definition. For a healthy relationship to be established, all relationships that you choose to create should be as a result of a mutual transparency, an honesty, an openness, and a willingness to contribute and exchange values, virtues, visions, vocational endeavors, and ventures from individuals that have agreed to coexist in an environment that work through issues and life experiences. The life within the relationships determines the quality of the relationship. And many relationships have abstract conditions that that challenge the quality all the time. Therefore, it is imperative as spirit-led individuals that you constantly review your courses of action when setting up and establishing relationships. Our first lesson is entitled, A Common Evil, A Creative Cure. A Common Evil, A Creative Cure. In Joshua, the 22nd chapter, the 22nd through the 29th verse, you'll hear this very intriguing subject that opens up our dialogue. The Lord God of gods, hallelujah, the God of gods, it repeats it, the Lord God of gods, he knoweth, and Israel he shall know, if it be in rebellion, or if in transgression against the Lord. Save us not this day, that we have built us an altar to turn from following the Lord. Or if it offer thereon burnt offerings or meat offerings, or offer peace offerings thereon, let the Lord himself require it. And if we have not done it for the fear of this thing, saying, in the time to come your children might speak unto our children, saying, what have ye to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you, ye children of Reuben and the children of Gad. Ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Therefore, we said, let us now prepare to build us an altar, hallelujah, not for burnt offerings, not for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness with him, with our burnt offerings, and with our sacrifices, with our peace offerings, that your children may not say to our children, in time to come, ye have no part in the Lord. Therefore, said we, if that it shall be, when they should say to us, or to our generation in time to come, that we may say again, behold the pattern of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offerings, not for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord. Hallelujah. To build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or for sacrifices, besides the altar of the Lord our God that is before his tabernacle. Amen. The book of Joshua is a unique transitional and heritage transformational book. Beginning in the historical awakening in scriptures and the children of Israel's national development, at the onset of Joshua's leadership, there had been a huge void of Moses' death in light of the leadership construct and unmet expectations for the agenda that God had ordained. There was still a mission to complete the conquest fully of Canaan. And the older generation was virtually non-existent, driven out of the scene through gluttony. And the younger generation had no knowledge or clue of the survival and civil development that they needed for the days ahead. Although this is not attributed to a prophetic text, it is clearly a strength-giving text to the depiction painted for current cultures. You can see it in current cultures that this type of situation is occurring today. The lack of knowledge of why we worship and why we do what we do, especially when it comes to developing healthy relationships. The text reveals insights on what it will take to transform a generation in the fear of the Lord. They built an altar of sacrifices serving as a pattern prescribed through sacrificial worship to God, not for inner resolves or inner healings for themselves, but rather a perpetual significance to the preservance of the restoration of the future cultures to revere God. This is why this text is selected. Our identity claims causes and challenges and controls and convictions through the lens of our worship to God should validate proof and the need for faith in the hearts of the next generation. And what often goes avoided is reflected in the behavioral dysfunctions we constantly see in cultures, especially as it pertains to relationships. And the church is divinely enabled to present a cure for this time. So let's go into five common evils of communicating on the top of relationships from a Christian perspective, and then go further into five challenges that the church will face if we avoid the issue of reclaiming the standards of developing healthy relationships, and then conclude tonight's lesson in five concepts that will serve as a cure for relationship corruption. So when I talk about common evils of communicating on the topic of relationships from Christian perspective, we need some transformation. And of course, you know, this year we purpose to pursue manifesting our transformation, not externally or through mere words acknowledging that we serve the Lord, but by proof and by precept and by practice in our personal stances of faith, we declare through our life and our living that we adhere to the standards of God's word. And how do we do that? We are first target the first institution that was revealed in Scripture. Not the church, not the supernatural, but relationships. And relationships is how this world and how we function in this world exists. Number one, the church has failed to theologically and apologetically instruct on developing covenant consciousness, which is a scriptural pattern as to how to develop a basis for a relationship with God and others. This is one of the evils. We have not really trained and taught systematically, proving the scriptures of how God deals with people on a covenant basis. As a result, it is flawed and infused psychological babble and vain philosophy, as the New Testament would say, into establishing relationships. Then also the church and the home construct has been distorted and perverted by unfounded ambition and claims of success, sexuality, social means that surface through demonic tactics and strongholds. You know, everybody has different claims of success and unfounded ambitions and sexuality now. Today that we try to redefine marriage, we try to socially accept children being perverted in their sexuality from primary school all the way through their adolescence to adulthood. It's amazing how sexual this generation is and how social means have adapted to these perversions. It's because of a failure in the church and the home construct. Thirdly, the church has not healthily developed. See, you can't really expose or provide a remedy until you reveal the ridiculousness of the situation. You have to be able to look face to face with what's going on. One, the church has failed to theologically and apologetically teach it. They have distorted the concept of the church as a whole. And then the church has not healthily developed confidence in contextually looking at scriptures that depict a balanced perspective to addressing and handling conflicts and situations in relationships. The scripture, if it can be rightly divided, it could be wrongly divided. And I'm amazed when I talk to people about, or in a social arena, about their relationships, how Christians are not systematic and not affixed on the proper method and the proper mindset behind establishing relationships, not in, according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. The church has not healthily developed this confidence in contextual integrity, especially as it references the New Testament. Fourthly, the church has been a prominent proponent in generalizing traits and tendencies to genders that are not grounded in the integrity and the transparency of Scripture. And that goes in a broad context, because a lot of times we say this is what women do, and the Scripture never said that women have to do this. Or this is what men do, and the Scripture never says that men have to do this. And in a technological age, in an age of Aquarius, if you will, the logical fallacies that parade as accepted generalized norms in Christian vernacular are not holding up to the time. And so the church is being bombarded with all forms of perversion and all forms of contradiction to what we hold as generalized traits, when in all actuality, they are really not founded in the Scripture. And then fifthly, the church has not presented a healthy approach to the role of spiritual leadership and personal relationships, often leading to unhealthy dependencies on the church versus the family. And this presents a lot of family conflict. And I've heard, even in modern and quote-unquote word-based churches, depict unhealthy, especially in this, and let me use this term lightly, sonship, as it pertains to people being their spiritual fathers and mothers, that has been perverted and needs to be corrected in the church. And so until these things go addressed, there are going to be challenges that the church will face. And if we avoid these issues and see these lessons that are going to come, not only in this lesson, but in the lessons to come, are going to challenge us to address these sacred norms that we hold so dear. It's going to challenge us, number one, the challenge is going to come as a result of a godless generation, which will result in avoidable destructive patterns and practices. Secondly, the challenge of erroneous indoctrinations on future generations, exploiting the concepts of sexuality and healthy communication amongst relationships amongst the children. And this will prevent them reaching true adulthood. And we've already seen some of these indications. And then the third challenge that people take so lightly is the challenge of the Lord's judgment that will automatically produce wrath because we become hostile when we don't conform into the laws and the ways of God. And now the church makes it seem like there are no laws and ways of God. And that's also bringing forth a wrath and a judgment in the church. Fourthly, the challenge liberty through lawlessness, with changes of all forms of sacred and secular securities in this generation's lifespan, as a result of us redefining terms that shouldn't be redefined because we didn't discover these terms, taking them out of the context and the pure context in which they were designed for, is going to result in lawlessness, and it's going to ultimately challenge our liberty to things that we hold dear now, because the degradation of this society is going to produce fruits that's going to be diabolically opposed to those standards which we hold dear as true liberty today. Why? Because there's lawlessness in the land. And then fifthly, the challenge of the church persecution reaching a whole new momentum from this moral decline, from verbal and perspectives that conflict to physical restraints. Here now we see a bunch of laws that were forced on New York. They tried to stop New York churches from using schoolhouses to conduct Sunday worship. No other institution have they denied but the church. Why is this? Because the church has avoided these issues on relationships and reclaiming standards. So what do we do? Do we sit there and act like these things are not happening? Or do we do something about it? And that's what I want to challenge you to do. To get out of complacency and to go forth into this area. Because this is a common evil. But there is a creative cure. The creative cure is going to come through concepts that will serve as a cure for this type of corruption. And the first one is, we need to claim a faith that forms healthy relationships. We need to have a claim of faith that forms healthy relationships. Christians must awaken to faith by being transparent about their state of relationships with God and with others. We need to put away the mask that we use to make it seem like we're religious when we're not. When we're walking by faith, when we're really not, and we need to become transparent and truthful. For the time and God seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. Christians must resolve to live out their faith in the social context to the extreme and not be hesitant to voice their convictions at will. That means we cannot be passive in our communication about being Christians. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the solution. Why? We have the creative cure to this corruption. And that is godly relationships, doing things by God's means, by God's power, and by God's way. Because it is he that causes us both to will and do his good pleasure.
To God be the glory for the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Perhaps you listen to me give you a little historical facts. You heard the hype in my voice. At the end of the day, you need to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Repeat after me, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Jesus from the dead. I thank God for the work that he did for me.
If you just pray that prayer, give us a call at our 24-hour prayer center. 202-709-PC4U. That's 202-709-7240.
Hello, this is LaVon Breland. In 2000, I decided to start a minister's fellowship that was very successful on social media networks of old. And recently, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the Lord told me to relaunch it in a more organized and consistent pattern. And I believe that I have a ministry to offer to ministers at their convenience. And it's simply by joining what we call The Call. The Call is an operation for ministers to collaborate on creative concepts that advance the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to join us on The Call. Get information about how you can be a part of it. You don't have to be in any type of affiliation. All you have to do is have a desire to be called for the ministry and seek the ministry to advance on earth as it is in heaven, because we're all about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we welcome you to join The Call and get involved in relevant revelatory training for today so you can be the minister that God has called you to be, with the backing of a community of faith that has endless bounds. God bless you and thank you for joining me on this call. Join us on The Call, The Call, The Call, The Call, The Call.
UGC is social. Visit us and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/urban_glory and on Facebook by searching Urban Glory Campaign. Sold to one that expected ownership eternal, the merchant being man, the first two, denying their very identity, submission to a loyally masked master called sin, never to return again, hope divorced mankind, anonymous papers signed in the ground of Eden. Sovereignty looked in displeasure and it echoed, "Where are you, Adam?" Cowardly words of blame at each other, male and female, started the gender battle that some remain in even to this day. But don't despair, because after the intermission of man's thousand-year journey, the master playwright continues with a hero, a messiah, a savior who causes the great symmetry of time. It starts over with him. Conquering sin in the flesh, he, like no other, could rip the partitioning wall that was built by the moment of shame in Eden, giving eternal access to man with the Father. Redeemed, redeemed, man is redeemed, the angelic choir sings with the harmonies this earth has yet to hear. It's clear, fear has no grip, death has lost its sting, let freedom ring, the song of redemption.
First Thessalonians 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it.
Hello, Faith Class Radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns. Listen, I wanted to come on tonight and let you know that we appreciate that you are listening to the broadcast and we want to hear from you. Email us anytime at urbanglorycampaigns@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. Give us your prayer requests, any comments and compliments concerning the broadcast, praise reports, anything that you want to communicate to us concerning the broadcast and concerning anything concerning your life. We want to either agree with you in prayer. You can call us 24/7 at our prayer center at 202-709-PC4U. That's 7248. Call us anytime. You can also text message us at that same number. Also, those of you who are business professionals, those of you who are entrepreneurs, those of you who are strategic stewards of your money, we have a special stewardship program that is ran by Reverend Breland and a team of finance specialists that are kingdom persons, they're believers, and they found different systems, one in particular, that you can take a small amount of money and turn it into larger amounts, very similar to the talent parable in the scriptures. To find out more information, email seedplotproject@gmail.com. Seedplotproject@gmail.com. That's S-E-E-D as in David, plot, E as in Paul, L-O-T, project, project@gmail.com for more information. Or you can always call us directly at Urban Glory Campaigns. Just say, I'm interested in the Seed Plot Project or the Stewardship Program, 202-630-4842 for UGC. We look forward to hearing from you. We are ecstatic that you're listening to the broadcast. Tell your friends, family, coworkers, colleagues, everybody, associates, neighbors, that Urban Glory Campaigns has a special broadcast for everyone, every believer, to build their faith, to grow in faith, and to grow in God. Faith Class Radio. Faith Class is also on Facebook, and it's going to go on to other social sites as well. We're going to expand the class. There's going to be many programs that will extend from Faith Class. The radio broadcast is the core, and we have Facebook Faith Class. Check us out on Facebook. Go to Urban Glory's profile page or page, and you'll find out more information. Connect with us. We want to hear from you. Have a great night. Glad you're listening to the broadcast. Looking to hear from you, and tune in next week.